in your Bibles, let's stand and turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. And by the grace of God, I want to encourage you, those of you who are fasting with me, the pre-Thanksgiving, break every chain, fast against the sin of gluttony in our lives in the church. The acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. It is amazing how acceptable it is. Oftentimes things become acceptable because we are doing it. Thus, divorce is acceptable today. Thus, fornication in the church is acceptable today. It's not acceptable by God, and it's not acceptable to Jesus. But it is acceptable to disobedient Christians, phony brethren, and fake Christians. And so is gluttony. We're not dealing necessarily with obesity, fat, overweightness, and the diseases and sicknesses that come from it. Those are the results of the sin of gluttony in our lives. And I'll be the first to admit I've enjoyed the sin of gluttony more than anybody. So no one is pointing the finger at you. Stop being sensitive. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Many of us are in this boat. Just if you don't believe me, and not only in the church, but in every sector of our community. I saw a man just last night standing outside of a restaurant. His stomach was so big, it was bigger than a big screen television. And we have many like that in the church. And to use the words of James, these things ought not so to be. So I just want to encourage those of you who are fasting on this 21-day fast, or however many days you chose, to pray and ask God to help you to break this hold that food has on you. It is your little G God. You love it just as much as you love a sexual orgasm. Some of you have replaced food, you have replaced sex with food. That's how powerful it is, and it is ruining your life and your relationships. And it is a little G God to you. It has a hold on you, as the song says. And it's a stronghold, it's a stranglehold, because it will eventually kill you. And many of us as Christians are particularly vulnerable because we have celebrate in us. We have joy in us. We have peace. We have a love of life and of eternal life in us. And at the drop of a hat, we'll celebrate anything with food. In fact, oftentimes when we get together for fellowship, we've got to have some food. That's a big part of it. We take breaking bread seriously, particularly gluttons in the church. At the same time, we thank God for those who have seen this for what it is, and have, by the grace of God, forsaken this sin and have trimmed down, and they're looking good. And we thank God for young preachers who have seen this for what it is and who have taken matters in hand. I've noticed once chubby preachers now have trimmed down, and they look healthy and they look good. And we want everybody in the church to do this. And for some of us, this is our sin. This is our temptation. This is the thing that gets us. And so we have to be extra prayerful and extra careful. You take my wife, for example. For her, food is food. It's just for nourishment to keep on going. And in her case, to keep on rebelling against me. She needs all the energy she can get. But to her, food is food. It's just grub. It's just nourishment for the body. For me, food is an event. It's something that you sit down and you prepare for, and so forth. And so we all have our temptations. We all have our sins and our weaknesses. And so God is telling us to lay aside every weight. Wow, pun not intended. Amen, somebody. God has told us to lay aside every weight. Lay down, lay aside that the weight of that potato salad that we love so much. Lay aside that brisket with the fat dripping, trimming it. Lay it aside. Lay aside the weight of those chicken legs and chicken breasts, if you want that, and chicken thighs. Lay aside a big old bowl of mashed potatoes with butter, real butter. Oh, yes, lay it aside, lay it aside, lay it aside. You say, preacher, surely we can eat it in moderation. Therein lies the problem. You're not going to eat it in moderation. And see, this is why you need to fast for a while. You need to pray and ask God to break this chain. Those of us who are tempted with food, those of us who are bona fide gluttons, we need to stop eating for a while to have some hope of breaking that hold, breaking that stranglehold, breaking that stronghold. Because you say, well, I'm just going to go on a diet. They told me that, you know, if you eat a little bit, you'll lose more weight. You know, the South Beach diet, the Jenny Craig diet, and you know, the other diet is advertised with Marie Osmond all the time and so forth. Now Oprah has a diet. Listen, here's the problem for gluttons. We see food, we have food, we're going to eat food. We have a problem. Okay? So you can buy the little Nutrisystem stuff, get a whole box full of food. And they're going to say, well, eat this little bowl of something and this little case of something and drink this little can of shake at intervals throughout the day, four times a day. The problem with the glutton is that little portion is not going to satisfy him or her. And they're going to see that other little meal that's supposed to come in 3 hours. And what they'll do is line up all three and eat them all at one time. So we have a problem. Houston, America, the church, we have a problem. We can't just eat one and then leave it. My wife can eat one and leave it and be through with it. She's not. That's not her temptation. That's not her sin. She has some other things, some other sins and temptations, but that's not one of them. That's my sin. That's my temptation. Own it. Stop being sensitive, sitting there with your fat self, mad because somebody's trying to help you. mad because the sisters, and yes, there are a few sisters who got looking down their nose at you when they come by and say, Janiqua, Tasha, or whatever your name is, why don't you go to the gym with us? We're going to the gym. And they all thin and got their little thin little suits on, and they look cute, and you mad as fire because you think they are criticizing your fatness. See, they don't know what you're doing to get like that. They have an idea, but they don't know. I know. I know what you're doing. So I can tell you the truth. Okay? Don't get mad. Be glad that somebody's trying to help you. And a lot of this can be done in the privacy of your home. So humble yourself down. Confess your sin of gluttony. Own it. Admit that you eat too much. That is not just the genetics. I have a brother who got the same genes I have, same mother and father. He just doesn't eat a whole lot. He learned how not to eat a whole lot. And so he does not blow up like the rest of us. I said the rest of us. Bless my mother's heart, she can eat a boiled egg and gain 3 pounds. It's just in us. So you have to be careful. But there's no excuse. Listen to me and listen to me carefully. There's no excuse for obesity. Just fat all over the place. Rolls of fat. You are doing something terribly wrong at home. And we see you. The only time we see you, don't you get mad with me. Looking at me with that face. Don't you get mad with me. The only time we see you is trudging back into Walmart to get more food. You get a cart because you need it to hold yourself up, not to buy the groceries. And you and I need to confess our sins and repent and turn from our evil ways. Okay? I love you, and I want you to do this for your own benefit. God has been very gracious to you and to me, but when you know better, you ought to do better. And you ought to at least acknowledge that there's a problem. Can somebody say, man, what God wants you to do and other Christians want you to do and lost people who come into the church with their thin selves, they want you to acknowledge that there's a problem and it is a sin problem. I am explaining that to you. It is the sin of gluttony.
I didn't know that was sin. What's the Greek word for that? Where you get that from? It's in the Bible.
And it's been a major sin for many, many years. But because we do it, we have squashed it. But God is reviving it.
So, you're not my kind of preacher. I didn't think I was, but that's all right. You heard what I said. I'll never come back. That's okay.
You won't get any amens and likes from me. That's fine. I'm not doing it for that, obviously. I'll tell you one thing. Your ministry won't get one dime from me. That's fine. God will take care of me. He's been taking care of me for almost 40 years before I met you. And I'm preaching not only to you, I'm preaching to myself and to my family members who are overweight. This is also not my oldest daughter's sin. She'll get up in the morning and eat half of orange, a quarter of an orange, and some grapes and keep on getting up. Same thing with my second daughter. That's not their sin. I don't believe it's my oldest son's sin. He's skinny as a rail. And has that thing going on. There's half Jamaican people. They're already going to be somewhat thin. They got Chinese blood running through them. My mother's grandmother was Chinese, full-blooded Chinese. And down in Jamaica, you know about all that kind of stuff going on. Chinese and Negro together and white together, boy, that's a challenge. And my oldest son, he was born, he looked like a Chinaman. He, to this day, he got Chinese eyes. The girls seem to like it, but I don't trust anybody. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. But be that as it may, there are people who have genes who have this. That's not their temptation. That's not their sin. That's not their weight. And we thank God for that. But and so we're dealing with our weight, literally, and from the scriptures. And God wants us to lay it aside. And you'll feel better, and you'll look better. You'll feel better about yourself and everything. The acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, number 37. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 34:28, and I'm just going to encourage you, and then we'll be through. Those of you who are fasting or who plan on fasting before Thanksgiving. Exodus 34:28 says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for reminding us from your holy word that people from the beginning of the Bible to the end chose to fast and to pray. And Lord, we have a sin problem that we want you to once and for all and finally take out of our lives and change our mentality about it. For if that is not changed, if our hearts are not changed, if our minds are not changed about this, if our spirits are not changed, if we don't see this as sin as you want us to see it, and repent of it and to turn away from it, then we will continue to suffer the awful consequences of this sin in our lives. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of the sin of gluttony in the church, the acceptable sin. No one wants me to deal with it. No one wants me to confront it, because it is a sin starting in the pulpit that goes all the way to the back of the church. Many pastors are fat. Many pastors are obese or overweight and are not even trying to lose weight, not even trying to cut this sin of gluttony out of their lives. Many pastors' wives are in the same category, obese, fat, overweight, and we're all setting a bad example. That's just the bottom line, including myself, setting a bad example before the church, and more importantly, before lost people who come to the church, who have tight, ripped stomachs, in shape, just left the gym, and then they come before the saints, and they're trying to get some help, and they are blown away by the fact that everybody on the praise team is obese. 90% of the choir is obese, fat, or overweight. And the pastor is obese, fat, overweight. The visiting preacher is the same, and their wives are the same. Then they look at their children, and they're chubby. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help us to repent of this sin and forsake it, and be the shining lights that you want us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. All preachers will tell you, you'll be amazed at some of the things the devil will suggest to a preacher while he is trying to explain something. Because I was getting ready to say, be the thin shining lights that we ought to be. Oh, get over yourself. Stop thinking of yourself more important than what you are. You're going to have to laugh some to get through this, because it's a crying situation. In the words of the old folks, it is a crying shame for Christians to be gluttons and obese and overweight and fat. Those of you who are thin, those of you who are young, I told you, I was ripped. Man, when I first met my wife, there was no fat, zero fat on me. Zero fat. And I would drink those protein shakes to go work out. You know the ones they tell you to do. Man, they had all kind of little shakes and drinks in the gym. You would drink them, you know, back then you could drink anything, eat anything, and it just evaporate. And somebody mentioned to me, you better stop drinking those shakes. They're going to catch up on you when you get 40, 45. I said, man, I'm not worried about that. I might be raptured out of here by then. I'm not thinking about that. And give me that shake. And let me drink it to put on those muscles that the women love. And, well, that trainer, whoever it was, he told me that was right. You better be careful what you eat while you're young. And shame on us parents for not telling our children, first feeding them correctly when they're with us, and then telling our children when they leave, don't eat like I eat. Because you're going to get into a diabetic situation. It's in our genes, it's in our family. Your Aunt Louise had diabetes. They didn't know what it was back then, but she had diabetes. Okay, it runs in our family. So while you're in your 20s, eat your vegetables and your fruits. Amen, somebody. So we see here that Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And I believe every preacher ought to fast 40 days and 40 nights. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a young preacher who's not willing to do that. Some older preachers can't do that now. You do as you please. Nobody's trying to tell you what to do. Just calm down. But I believe every God-called preacher ought to fast at least one time, 40 days and 40 nights. You say, where you get that from? I just believe it. Like Moses, like Jesus, the lawgiver and the sin bearer, I believe every preacher, God called preacher, ought to fast 40 days and 40 nights and get along with God. And the sooner you do that at the outset of your ministry, the better. Moses didn't eat any bread or drink water. It's a serious fast. We're not recommending you do that here. I don't recommend anybody to do that. I want that very, very clear. Because there's no telling what might happen to you. And after he fasted, he did something great. All people who have fasted for an extended period of time, they will tell you it was one of the most powerful experiences in their lives, painful experience, a cold and lonely experience. But somehow, some way, God, if it was a fast of the Lord's, somehow God did something great with their lives afterwards. I am a living witness to that. After fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights, God gave me a young man. Many people don't know that I wrote letters to young black men as a young man myself. I was in my 20s when I started writing letters to young black men. It was after I had fasted and prayed 40 days and 40 nights twice. And it has been a national bestseller, recognized by three major organizations for the past 10 years. I was not going to mention that. Every time you mention something like that, people think you're bragging. And that's my first time mentioning that. Many people believe I wrote that book after turning 50. I wrote that book in my 20s. My oldest son was not even born, I don't believe. Or he was just a few months old. You say, how did you do that? Where did you get that wisdom from, that old man wisdom, that knowledge and that understanding? Through fasting and prayer. And thousands upon thousands of young black men and old men too have been blessed and encouraged, and their lives have been changed through that little book. So a lot can come out of serious fasting and prayer. God can do something with your life. And God wants to do something with your life once you deal with this sin. He loves his fat Christians, but he wants us to repent of the sin of gluttony. Because we are sinning simply because we can. We are a blessed people, and we can go to any restaurant we want. We can go to the grocery store and buy any food we want. And we will make an excuse to celebrate something. Some of us will celebrate not eating for a while. Anything. And we're doing it because we can, and we're overdoing it, and we're not doing it in moderation as God wants us to. And he's not pleased with it. And he wants us to confess it as sin and repent. You say, well, where's the chastisement? No, I will admit, God is not as hard on us about this as he is on other things, such as fornication, adultery, lying, living a lie, robbing God, not tithing, not giving. He's hard on us on certain things. Lust, whatever it is. There's some things that he really gets on our case about. This is one that he's been very gracious. as he always is, but I will say, though he wants us to confess it as sin and repent, and this is a loving, gentle reminder, and the chastisement comes if you don't repent, if you don't judge yourself, and keep on stuffing yourself. The judgment is going to come. The judgment is going to come through diabetes and through its complications. Now, regarding fasting, Kevin Sylvester said, fasting is a way to demonstrate to God and to yourself that you are serious about your relationship with Him. Fasting helps you to gain a new perspective and a renewed reliance upon God. And you're going to need to rely on God, not Oprah, not Marie Osmond, who looks mighty good on the Nutrisystem commercials. She still looks good after all of these years. You have to understand, I had a crush on Marie Osmond when I was a little boy, when I was lost. Back in those days, we loved us some Jackson 5 and the Osmond family. And Marie was a welcome addition to the Osmond brothers. Don't worry about it, people. I was a real young kid at the time. And she was too. I was about 6 or 7 or whatever. And she looked good then, and she looks good now. I don't know how, but she does. The Nutrisystem. No, God does not want us to depend upon them. At a weak moment, you would reach down in that box and eat the whole box without God's help. And you say, preacher, how do you know? Because I did it. I bought a month-long deal from Nutrisystem. I believe everything was gone in 2 weeks. Just tell the truth and shame the devil. Nutrisystem couldn't help me. And the food wasn't that good either. You know, food that comes in a box is not any good. That's not what we do. So I don't pay any attention to Marie Osmond. And so with that said, my beloved, hopefully you're encouraged to keep on keeping on with your fast. I know it's difficult this time of the year. And then also being around people who have coughs and so forth, you might be susceptible to catching something. I am not. I was feeling great yesterday, but I was around some folks who were coughing and gagging, and now a little something is happening to my throat. So you pray for me. I'm at a weak point right now. Now, to encourage you further, you can listen to over 150 podcasts that I have done by the grace of God on the subject of fasting and prayer at the Prayer Motivator devotional.com. When you get there, click on the Fasting Edition link, and God will bless you and encourage you in these difficult days, these dark and cold days, and particularly this time of year. I've never fasted in November in my life. I like to fast when it's warm and the sun is shining bright. Springtime, summertime. And so this is difficult and painful for me, and the devil is attacking me and fighting me because I am trying to help folks with this, and the devil is fighting me and buffeting me, because I'm preaching the gospel every day as well. And so you pray for this poor preacher that God will give me all of the strength I need to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. We love you and we thank God for you. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are fasting, to break every chain, the gluttony, sin in our lives. to break the stranglehold and the stronghold of the sin of gluttony in our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits. We pray that you would do it, for something has to change on the inside. We have to see food differently. We cannot continue to look at it as a reward or a celebration thing, or even a fellowship thing, or a gathering thing, or a meeting thing like we do. Forgive us of our sins of gluttony and help us to repent. Change us from the inside out. No diet will help us. Only you, and fearing you enough to repent of this sin without having to go through a long period of chastisement. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen.